is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Moments before I entered the studio today, and in fact in the studio, I was still finishing up doing something that I regularly do before I make a decision, an important decision about anything, whether or not to do this or to do that, whether or not to engage in something in terms of ministry activities or business activities or personal activities. All of us, you, me, everybody, we're all faced continually while we live here on planet Earth with making choices and decisions. And the way that you and I increase our effectiveness, the way we increase our blessing, the way we increase our quality of life is all dependent upon the knowledge and the wisdom we have or get or accumulate regarding any particular subject or decision or area of endeavor. So for hypothetically, let's say you were considering buying or selling a house or selling your current house and moving. Let's say you were considering moving from one location to another location, perhaps from one state to another state. I mean, the list of important decisions that you and I are faced with really is endless in this life that we live. So one of the things, among many things, that I practice as a discipline, and probably many of you practice these disciplines also. First thing I do is I always make sure, or I try to make sure, that in anything that I'm about to do or whatever, that number one on my list is I commit my way unto the Lord. In other words, I commit my way to the Lord. I give it over to Him. I ask for His leading. I present to the Lord my decision or potential decision. And that is number one, and that's paramount, and that's the most important thing that I can do. Because you see, if you're launching out into anything in this life, like, will I move from this location to another location or whatever, when you're making these decisions, the bottom line is this: you and I, we don't have all the data. We don't have all the facts. We don't even have internally inside of our brains, none of us, myself included, none of us has so much wisdom and data and intelligence that we can do it alone. We can manage it alone. So we have to commit our way to the Lord. And that is also an act of worship when we commit our way to the Lord, because none of us, we don't want to be caught in that very dangerous spiritual place of walking out from under the covering of the Lord's protection. So by committing our way or committing a decision to the Lord, that way Jesus is not just Lord of your life. Jesus is not just your Savior. But very importantly, in this temporary world that we live in, Jesus has to be invited to be Lord of any decision. Like, Jesus is Lord of whether or not you're going to move from one location to another. And that's critical. So that's the number one thing that I do when I'm seeking the Lord for His guidance and wisdom. Number two is, the Bible teaches us that in the multitude of counselors, there is wisdom. So in terms of a powerful asset in pragmatic decision-making is that you don't just do it all by yourself. You should not be the only source of information and wisdom in your own life. you need to, according to the wisdom of God written down in his word, what you need to do, according to God, is consult a number of qualified counselors or people or individuals or companies or whatever. Even, well, I won't mention this because the internet has changed so radically and big tech has changed the internet so radically in the last couple of years that you can no longer count on information you get from the internet unless you know how to scrutinize and filter out all the lies and all the fake news and all the propaganda. You see, in terms of consulting a number of sources, in the multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. If you know how to really use the internet, if you have developed, and you have to develop it, if you have developed the skill of knowing how to sift through what's on the internet and weed out all the lies and deception and non-truths in order to gain the truth that does, that is there, but you've got to find it, and it's more difficult now, you could consider, assuming you're going to an appropriate source on the internet, you could consider certain internet sources or websites or whatever, a counselor. The only danger is you have to filter out the ones that are lying. Now, in the multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. So before I make decisions, I make phone calls. I talk to people that I know, that I've worked with in the past, people that I trust, people that I've had a relationship with, and I know they aren't going to mislead me. And I also know that the person that I'm about to contact or call or meet with or whatever, that they're qualified, that they have expertise, that they have knowledge, that they have experience in the precise area that I'm asking them about. In the multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. So if you're contacting a multitude of counselors or people or sources before you make a decision, obviously, those counselors have to be trustworthy and they have to be qualified. If you're going around and asking all your friends or associates or whatever questions about certain kinds of things, but they are not educated or experts or trained or they have absolutely no knowledge whatsoever in whatever you're asking them, you might as well just be jumping off a cliff and screaming hallelujah. And then it's just splat. I mean, you got to be flat out crazy. Especially when you're dealing with fields or information or subject matter that is hard to find. For example, in a lot of what I do in the ministry, besides studying the Old Testament and the New Testament, which I've studied for years, including reading the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. But I also study all kinds of related subjects. And these become rare sources of information. You just can't go up to your average person and your average Christian, for example, and ask them some esoteric question about the Tower of Babylon or whatever. You're just wasting your time because they have no clue. They haven't spent 3 seconds studying the subject. And the same is true if you needed to know something, let's say, on a mortgage, and you wanted the truth on the mortgage, and you wanted to ask somebody something about financing or refinancing your home or buying or selling a home or property or whatever. And not only did you want somebody who knew about interest rates and the best type of loan available for your particular needs, you might also want somebody who has some intelligence and knowledge about what's going to happen with the economy in the near future and as the years go by. But you don't go to somebody that you know doesn't possess the knowledge and the wisdom to give you the right answer. Because if you ask somebody who doesn't have a clue, you're going to pay a heavy price for that. So, a lot of today, I found myself having to make decisions, map out plans of action, et cetera, et cetera. So I found myself contacting people who I consider to be qualified counselors. They don't necessarily happen to be professional. In this case, they were. Why? Because I'm not going to make a decision, an important decision, just based on my own knowledge. And also, it's good to get a balance of opinions, a balance of feedback from people who may be experts in the same field. Just like, you know, you should never go to the doctor for something serious and just take that doctor's advice if it's something that's potentially dangerous or questionable. If you were truly obeying the Bible and the multitude of counselors, there's wisdom, it would be best for you to talk with several doctors and to see if they all agreed upon a plan of action for you or somebody you know, or was there an educated difference of opinion? And you discover that that these expert doctors are giving you different opinions about how to treat a medical condition or whatever. So again, you've got to contact a multitude of counselors to get wisdom. And that requires that you're not passive, but you're active. Now, I could go down the list even further. I have a personal list, all based on the Word of God, where I practice biblical principles that God teaches us in His Word regarding how to get wisdom, how to know what to do in life when you're faced with decisions. And so if you or I or anybody else actually takes the time to do things God's way, we'll find that the amount of blessing, peace of mind, prosperity, good guidance that comes into our lives substantially increases. Why? Because we are obedient to the Word of God. Now, I'll give you one other area, and I'll just touch upon it lightly. As most of you know who listen to the Paul McGuire Report, in addition to doing many things in life, I'm a licensed minister. I'm a pastor of a local church called Paradise Mountain Church. I'm a professor of eschatology or Bible prophecy and other things. Now, throughout the years, people have come to me asking for counseling and prayer regarding relationship issues and marriage issues and should I get a divorce or not? Should I, and a big one is, should I marry this person or not? And there are some biblical principles from the Word of God that I will go through with somebody who's seeking me for counseling. Because I always counsel based on the truth of God's Word. And when a person incorporates these God-given principles on how to choose a prospective wife or husband or whatever, or what to do in this situation or that situation, the Bible gives knowledge and wisdom. And the primary truth that I will share with somebody who comes to me for counseling is this, that ultimately, if you really want God's wisdom, if you really want to know what to do, if you really want to discover the plan of God for your life, if you really want to know what choice to make regarding a husband or a wife, and this principle, by the way, applies just about to every area of life. I'm just using husband, wife, marriage areas. But the actual underlying principle that I share with people really is probably one of the most powerful principles for receiving God's guidance and wisdom in any area of your life, including business, job, employment, finances, etc. And the truth that I will share with them, and I never judge people, by the way, never. My job is not to judge people. That doesn't mean I won't tell people the truth. I will tell people the truth. But I want people coming to me for counseling to feel safe, to feel like they're not going to be judged or looked down upon. So I'll speak the truth in love, but they know that they will be accepted and not judged by me. Because I want people to be able to share with me what's on their heart freely. So, one of the most powerful principles in the Bible regarding wisdom and guidance is this. When we pray to the Lord, number one, we first commit our way to the Lord in prayer. We dedicate our path to the Lord. We give over a decision we have to make. But when we make this prayer where we ask God for his wisdom and direction, we must come to the Lord with this foundational attitude in our heart and mind. And that foundational attitude is this. We have to come to the Lord and tell the Lord, and really mean it, that we are willing to obey him whether or not what he tells us to do goes with our feelings, goes with our own wants, desires, and needs. But we're also just as willing to obey the Lord if what he tells us to do goes against our own inner desires, if it goes against our own inner wants and needs. You see, we have to be totally willing in our inner man or woman to give up our own desires, needs, and wants in order to obey what God tells us to do. Now, that's not complicated. It's a matter of will. And sometimes you have to add into that prayer is something like this. Lord, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I commit this decision to you regarding a husband or wife, or whether or not I should marry that person or whatever. And then you might add, Lord, I ask you to give me your supernatural strength so that I can obey you, so that I will do whatever you tell me to do, whether I like it or not. In other words, obedience before the Lord is your willingness to do something, whether or not you like it or not. Now, I know that sounds scary, but ultimately, it's the most liberating and freeing thing that can happen in your life. Why? Because God is all-knowing. God knows all about what would happen if you married so-and-so or so-and-so. In fact, God knows all about who the potential man or woman you're considering marrying, who that person really is, who that person is going to be 5, 10, 15 years down the road, because people change. So that principle that I'm talking about is sometimes referred to as no mind of your own. The idea is you're going into the presence of the Lord to ask Him for wisdom, direction, and guidance, but you must surrender your own will and desires before the Lord, and by relying on the Lord's strength and power, you must have no mind of your own. That doesn't mean you're not allowed to have a preference. It doesn't mean that you can't have a desire. It doesn't mean that you can't have your own wishes and what you would like to have happen. That's not wrong or sinful that you have your own desires or preferences or you would really prefer to marry this person or that person. That's fine. But when it comes down to the decision, and when it comes down to when you ask the Lord for His wisdom and guidance, you must come to the place where you're going to practice the no mind of your own principle. Because if you're really asking God for His wisdom about a potential mate or any other important choice in life, and that's probably one of the most important choices you can make in life, you must come into the place of having no mind of your own. Because you see, you really will not honestly be able to hear the voice of the Lord, even if it's just the still small voice. You won't honestly be able to hear God give you His wisdom if your mind is dominated and ruled by your own desires, your own wishes, your own mind, and what you want. God can't speak to you if you're so busy clinging to what you want and your desires. And here it requires that you walk with the Lord and you allow the Lord to bring you into a place of elevated maturity in your walk with the Lord. You allow the Lord to grow you spiritually in the Lord. Why? Because as you begin to walk with the Lord in everyday life, you develop a more intimate relationship between you and the Lord. You start to be able to hear the Lord. I'm not saying in an audible voice, but you can sense the Lord's presence. You can hear the Lord's still small voice as He speaks to you through your imagination or the Word or other people or whatever. You see, the more time you spend with the Lord, the more time you spend reading the Word of the Lord, because the Word of the Lord and the Lord are one, the more you know and can recognize His voice, and the more you can discern the difference between your voice, your imaginations, your wants and needs, and what the Lord is saying. And the reason you can grow in that is, it's really simple. The more time you spend with the Lord, and the more time you spend reading the Lord's Word, the more intimate you become with the Lord, the more familiar you become with the Lord. And when that happens, it's like, pow, instantly, somebody says something, or you read something, or whatever, and you know instantly that's not of the Lord, or it's not of the Lord for you. You see, you're not confused. You're not bewildered. Your pathway is clear. So this is what happens when it comes to one of life's biggest decisions. Should I marry this person or not? Whether it's a husband or a wife. And you must commit your way to the Lord. Then you have to ask the Lord for His wisdom. And that may require you waiting on the Lord until you're clear about whether or not you've really heard the answer. If your own desires and your own wants and needs and your own preference is so strong then you're not going to be able to hear the Lord, because you're not going to want to hear the Lord, because the Lord may tell you the opposite of what you really want to hear. But if you see, if you have grown in the Lord, you shouldn't be afraid of that. You see, in reality, practicing the principle of no mind of your own is one of the most liberating things you can do. Because once you know in your inner man or woman that God loves you, that Jesus loves you in every area of your life, and he wants the best for you, that God really wants the best for you, that Jesus really wants the best for you in anything, in choosing a husband or a wife, in choosing whether or not to marry someone, you have a revelation, you really, really understand that God wants the very best for you in marriage and choosing a mate. And so God will withhold no good thing from those that love him. So if God is saying no to you after you've come to him for wisdom regarding marrying a particular man or a woman, and the Lord tells you no, then you should thank him that he tells you that. Because number one is, he may be saving you from making the wrong choice. Because if you chose the wrong person, you're giving up the potential of actually marrying the right person, and the person that he chose for you to marry. That would have been a super blessing. But if you choose out of your own will to marry somebody outside of God's will, then you run the risk of having a life of hell and having a life of emotional torture and pain. And I don't need to explain it, because you've met many people. That's where they're living. But most of them never took the time to seek the Lord. And then you have to resist the temptations of the devil when it comes to making any important decision. And by that I mean the devil will want to destroy or interfere with you receiving the wisdom that God wants to give you regarding whether or not to marry a particular man or woman. And one of the ways that he will do that is he'll work on your weaknesses. He'll tell you, especially to women, but also men, but especially to women, your biological clock is running out. Your time is running out. And we all know that society places huge pressure on women, unfair pressure, regarding how old they are. And society tries to put a fear upon women that you better grab a husband, you know, before you're at whatever age, and gets younger and younger each year, or you'll never get married. You'll never find a husband if you don't marry this one, because you're getting older. The clock is running out. And so many women, responding to that pressure, which is not the voice of the Lord, by the way, they respond to that pressure, and then they tragically choose to marry the wrong person, because they're not really listening to the voice of the Lord. They're listening to fear, which is telling them they're getting too old. Or there's variations of how the devil can tempt you to not hear the wisdom of God. The devil works on men. You know, if you expect to marry this woman or whatever, you're going to have to have a more expensive car or expensive house or condo or whatever. So the guy gets in all kinds of debt because he fears that if he doesn't at least maintain the illusion of some kind of affluence and maintain the illusion of having some kind of, you know, economic prosperity, that she, this potential she that he wants to marry, won't marry him. So he gets into debt so he can impress her. But let me tell you something. What's more important than impressing her is that that guy hears from the Lord as to whether or not that's God's choice for him to marry that woman. Now, I'm not saying that a woman or a man or whatever, but let's talk about women. I'm not saying that a woman doesn't have the right to use her wisdom and appraise the total character of a prospective guy she's thinking of marrying. She needs to, any woman or man needs to evaluate a person. That's not wrong, that's wisdom. Like, does this guy have a job? Does he have some kind of future? Will I have some kind of security economically? Is he psychologically sane? And I'm not trying to be, you know, too satirical. Is he an emotional, psychological basket case? Because if he is, if he's carrying all this baggage, you can have compassion and love. That's good. But if he's carrying all this baggage that he's never dealt with, then it's going to erupt like a volcano in the middle of your marriage and home. So a woman has to be wise. She has to make an appraisal. And a guy's job history, his work ethic. Now, I'm not saying a woman should only marry a guy who's rich or has a great job or has an expensive car. I'm not saying that at all. Because really, what's more important than any of that is if a woman is evaluating a guy to be a prospective husband, you know, what's more important than how, of whether or not he's good looking, or he's got money, or what kind of car he has, or job, or whatever, the economic thing. What's more important, the number one most important thing for a woman to discover about a prospective marriage partner, or for a man to discover about a prospective wife, the number one most important thing is that person genuinely born again? Do they have a spiritual track record where I can see specific evidence that, yes, they are truly born again and they love the Lord? Not just saying they're born again, not just saying they love the Lord, but you can check it out. There's observable evidence. Look, let's not kid ourselves. If you're dating a guy or a girl who says they're born again and says they've been saved for 5 years or whatever, or even goes to church, okay? But that man or woman, you never see them talking about the Bible, ever. You never see them just spontaneously pick up the Bible and read it. You don't even see that they have a Bible that they actually use and read and consult. I'm telling you right now, the warning bells should be going off in your head. And God is speaking to you right in front of your face because you're seeing the physical evidence of whether or not their claim to be born again is true or not. So the number one most important thing that you need to find in a person you're thinking about marrying, man or woman, is, are they truly born again? Are they saved and do they love the Lord? If you're marrying a man or a woman and you don't know for 100% certainty that they truly love the Lord, and there's evidence of it, then you're walking into a disaster. You want a man or a woman who loves the Lord, because that's going to solve the fact that the Holy Spirit lives inside them, the fact that Jesus Christ lives inside them and they're born again. That solves so many problems in marriage and life. You have no idea. I've been married for 40 years. I think it's earned me the right to have a little bit of wisdom. Oh, and I've been married to one woman over 40 years. That gives me the right, wouldn't you say, to have a little bit of wisdom? Notice I didn't say I have a lot of wisdom. I said a little bit of wisdom. But you see, That's the most important thing. Because you see, in a marriage, if one or the other marriage partner, the man or the woman, let's say they go through tough times or difficulties or challenges like everybody does, and let's say somebody develops an attitude in a marriage, which happens in every marriage because we're all fallen creatures. If the Holy Spirit is alive and well and living in the heart of your husband or wife, then the Holy Spirit is going to convict your husband or wife about their bad attitude or whatever other problem is arising. You're not going to have to desperately resort to nagging and, God forbid, threatening divorce because they're out of control. They will not be able to live in a perpetual state of being out of control if they're truly born again, because if they're truly born again, the Holy Spirit is going to give them no peace. The Holy Spirit is going to convict them and tell them they're out of order. And if necessary, the Holy Spirit will discipline them so that they are back in harmony with you. And what about temptation in this sinful world? Let's be real. Temptation is everywhere for people who want to live a pure life before the Lord. Temptation to the single person, temptation to the unmarried person, to people in younger age categories, temptation to married people, you know, temptation of adultery and other things. Well, if your husband and wife is just following the world system, that's not a very secure marriage. But if you know Jesus is alive and well in your husband or wife, and the Holy Spirit is alive and well in your husband and wife, that doesn't make them immune from temptation. That doesn't guarantee that they won't be tempted. But what it does mean, if the Holy Spirit is alive and well inside of them, if they start to toy with temptation in their hearts, if somebody comes into their lives who's trying to make a move on them or something, the Holy Spirit will convict the husband or wife who may be tempted. The Holy Spirit will convict them, deal with them, and the Holy Spirit will give them the supernatural power to overcome and be victorious over the temptation. So that, we're not just talking about sexual romantic temptation. It's in every area of life. But your marriage partner, the most important thing you need to decide is, do they love Jesus? Is there evidence of that? And are they genuine born again? Now, I cannot tell you how many women especially, and men, who did not practice the principle of no mind of your own and went through the motions of praying to the Lord about, you know, Lord, should I marry this man or woman or not? And God was speaking to them through his still small voice, through learning principles from the Bible like I've shared with you now. The Lord was bringing illumination into their hearts as they asked God, God, should I marry this person? Is this person your choice for my life? And they chose to ignore the evidence that was clearly before them. They saw evidence, but they didn't want to see it because they had a mind of their own instead of no mind of their own. So when they began to see evidence, hey, he's never praying. I don't ever see him reading the Bible or talking about the Bible. But the same thing with the girl. That's evidence of a lack of love for Jesus, and it is also potential evidence of what may be the fact that they're not even born again to begin with. Why would you jump into a marriage, which is supposed to be for life, when you're not even really certain whether or not your prospective spouse is born again? So you have to have no mind of your own. Simply because we all have a flesh, we all have our inner desires and wants, and our own inner desires and wants constitute a mind of our own. And they will interfere with, if we're not careful, our ability to hear clearly from the Lord. Because unless we're willing to have no mind of our own, which means we're actually willing to obey God if He tells us through a variety of ways, if the Lord is telling us and the Lord is convicting us and the Lord is warning us through people, through circumstances, through your observations, through the Holy Spirit, if the Lord is warning you that this is not the right choice, then you need to obey the Lord and back off and end the relationship. If indeed you really want to follow the guidance and wisdom of the Lord. And you can do that. He'll give you the power to do that, but you have to operate under the principle of no mind of your own. In any area of life, when your own desire, wants, and needs are at a higher priority in your heart than the will of the Lord is, you will never be in a place spiritually where you can clearly be sure that you're hearing the wisdom and guidance of God. You have to be in the place of no mind of your own, which means you're surrendering your will to the Lord's will. Now, the bottom line is that appears to sound cold. It appears to sound like a tough assignment. It appears like God, you know what it appears like? Let's be honest. It appears like God's trying to deprive you of pleasure, joy, and rewards. That's what it appears like. But the truth is, the opposite is true. But you have to know God. God, and you have to know by walking with God that God absolutely wants the very best for you. God does not want to deprive you of any good thing. God wants to bless you through your marriage partner, husband or wife. God wants you to be happier in your marriage than you do. You may not understand that yet, only because you don't know God intimately enough. But God really does want you to be happier in your marriage than you do. God does not want you to be unhappy. And so, if you will make the choice, no mind of your own, to seek the Lord, to commit your way unto the Lord, He will lead you. And that doesn't mean you're going to have a perfect life, you'll never have a fight in your marriage. That does not mean that for one second. We live in a fallen world, and in a fallen world we have struggles in every area of life. Get used to it. But when you obey the Lord and follow His guidance and wisdom, the blessing of God comes upon you. You'll still have trials like everybody else does. The difference between you and everybody else in marriage or whatever, when the trials come, is that you will have something special. You will have the blessing of God upon you in the midst of your trials or in the midst of challenges in a marriage. You'll have the blessing of God upon you. You'll have the rescuing power of God upon you. You'll have the deliverance of God upon you. You'll have God's promise to you that whatever you ask Him in His name in prayer, He will do it upon you. So if you're going through trials in your marriage or job or children or whatever area of life you're going through trials in, you can ask God in Jesus' name to help you, to help fix the problem, to strengthen you, to deliver you. And guess what? God will actually move miraculously on your behalf. Now, man, that's a guarantee that no human or no human institution can give you. So, what I try to do, and I don't claim to be perfect, is in every area of my life, I purpose to seek the guidance, the wisdom of the Lord by no mind of my own, by asking God and by seeking God and following biblical principles. And I shared three. In the multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. And that's like a check and balance, because you want to get the input of people who have knowledge and expertise and experience. That those are the people you go to get wisdom in any particular area. It wouldn't really be wise to go to a person, and I'm not trying to put down anybody listening in the audience of the Paul McGuire Report. I'm not trying to put down or shame anybody who's been married multiple times. Okay, I'm not. We live in a fallen world. God has forgiven. If you've asked God for forgiveness, the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed you from all sin. I have no right to point the finger at you and judge you. God has forgiven you. You can be forgiven in Jesus. You can be given a second, third chance or whatever in Jesus. But I'm sure you would rather have not had to go through all these trials to begin with. So the key thing is, in the multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. You don't go to somebody who's been married and divorced seven times for advice on marriage. You don't go to somebody who has no expertise or experience in this area or that area and go to that person for wisdom. You go to counselors that through life experience, knowledge, training, or whatever, have wisdom in that area, and people whose characters have demonstrated to be trustworthy. So yes, you need to incorporate in your in routines in life going to a multitude of counselors. Now, the purpose in all of this is the only way that you can fulfill God's plan for your life, the only way you can help release God's plan for other people's lives, the only way you can achieve the destiny that God has for you, and yes, indeed, you do have a destiny, is by not simply relying on your own strength, power, and wisdom. The secret of success that is given to us in the Bible is not positive thinking. Again, there's nothing wrong with positive thinking. Positive thinking is certainly better than negative thinking. But I was reading a study the other day, and I don't know how accurate the study was. According to this psychological, psychiatric study, they concluded that people who incorporated positive thinking into their life saw something like, between 7%, 10% positive increase in different areas of their life. So yes, scientifically, thinking positive did improve many people's lives from between 7 and 10%. That's good. But people who incorporated additional practices experienced positive changes up as much as 30% or 60% in their lives. Now, that's a far greater transformational increase for the better than just positive thinking. There was no scientific study available to me that measured scientifically the percentage change for the better in people's lives who actually became born again and who were genuinely saved by Jesus Christ. I would assume that if there was such a scientific study, that numerically, based on percentages of people, that if you measured scientifically the percentage of beneficial positive change and transformation that happens in people's lives, that people who are genuinely saved, genuinely born again, probably receive upwards of 70% or more, and I'm being very conservative, they experience an upwards of 70% or more positive transformational change in many areas of their life just by the fact that they're born again. And then for people who who choose to really walk with Jesus and make Jesus Christ their Lord, I would say that the percentages probably shoot up anywhere between 90 to 100%. That doesn't mean they're perfect, but of positive transformational changes happening in their life because they're born again and walking with Jesus Christ as their Lord. So all of that is available to you. And in this world that we live in, which is in a constant state of forced transformation, in a world that we live in that is erupting with COVID pandemics and economic disruption and societal chaos and societal stress and the fracturing of the moral system of our society and the fracturing of the marriages and the enormous amount of spiritual deception that is running rampant in people's lives, not only people who don't believe in God, but tragically, a massive amount of spiritual deception is ripping up the lives of people who are Christians. So we live in a fallen world, and we live in a fallen world which is currently experiencing an accelerated rate of chaos. So the question is, how does God want you to live and think and be in the middle of a time period of accelerated chaos? Does God want you just swept up in the turbulence, in the chaos that everybody else is that does not know God? Does God just want you to be a helpless victim like so many other people who don't know God appeared to be? I mean, you need to really ask yourself these questions, because if you don't have the answer to these questions, you're not going to have the wisdom and knowledge you need to be an overcomer in the middle of the chaotic world that we live in. And you have to know what the Word of God says about it. What's God's perspective? And you have to be clear about it, because if in your mind and in your brain you're unclear, which is kind of another way of saying you don't have proper vision, and God's word says, without vision, the people perish. If you're unclear about things, if you don't have the proper vision, and God's word says, without vision, the people perish, then, and if you don't have a knowledge of God's word, not just, you know, taking a scripture verse here and taking a scripture verse there and pasting it on your refrigerator door. There's nothing wrong with that, by the way. There's nothing wrong with having your favorite Bible verses taped to a mirror or your refrigerator or whatever, so that you're putting the Word of God in front of your eyes, especially verses that mean a lot to you and lift you up. I'm not trying to discourage you from using a useful tool in your life. No, don't take it down if it's helping you. It's a blessing from God. But what I am saying is your knowledge and understanding of the Word has to be a lot bigger than just some Bible verses that you paste here and there on a mirror or a refrigerator door or whatever. Your knowledge of the Word of God has to be a lot bigger than that, because life is big. And you have to have a knowledge of the Word so that you have a clear understanding. Without vision, the people perish. And one of the paramount things that you need to have a clear understanding about is this. What is your God-given purpose in life? What is your destiny in life? And how are you supposed to live as a believer in Christ in a chaotic world that is often adversarial and often negative? And And unless you read the Word of God for yourself, and unless you have acquired the knowledge of God's Word yourself, depending upon whether or not you have rightly divided the Word of God, which means that you properly understand what God is really trying to say versus misinterpreting what God's Word is saying, or not understanding what God is saying in His Word, or being confused about what God is really saying in His Word. You see, all of that is important. It's not important to people of this world. It's not important to the vast majority of Christians. I would say it's not important to 87% of so-called born-again Christians. How do I arrive at that statistic? I arrive at the statistic by simply reviewing the statistical poll conducted by a highly respected Christian polling company, which determined through polling that 87% of Christians do not study or read Bible prophecy, and 87% of so-called evangelical born-again churches do not teach or preach Bible prophecy from the pulpits. Now, if that is true, which it is, then one can easily deduce that that means that 87% of Christians in America, at least, have deprived themselves of the full knowledge of God's Word, because they have rejected Bible prophecy in God's Word. And Bible prophecy in God's Word is a huge percentage of what God's Word is about. And what they're doing is they've deprived themselves from knowing Bible prophecy. And it's only by knowing Bible prophecy that a huge amount of the answers to the questions about life that I just raised are answered. So let's remember another fundamental principle, and one that I try to practice in my ministry. And that is this, that whenever you reject the Word of God, and this is something that God's Word teaches, whenever God's children, or men and women in general, reject God's Word, or reject the principles of God's Word, it always releases a curse or curses. And whenever God's people obey the Word of God, it releases the blessing or blessings of God in their lives. Very simple dynamic that any one of us can follow. So let's go back. We live right now in a time where there's a lot of people confused, a lot of people suffering from anxiety, fear, depression, a lot of chaos. There's a literal spiritual war raging for our nation, society, and world. And there's chaos. And on top of chaos, there's things that a lot of so-called Bible-believing Christians don't want to talk about, even though it's written about in the Bible and God considers it important enough to teach us about it in His Word. The vast majority of Christians have closed their ears to the voice of the Word of the Lord. What I'm talking about are topics that Christians consider taboo, that Christians censor. But instead of censoring these topics, they should be obedient to the Lord and study all of the topics in God's Word, because all of the topics in God's Word are placed there for our potential blessing and benefit. And that goes into the area of having a mature understanding of how to practice, first by understanding it, and second by practicing it, having a mature understanding and practice of authentic biblical spiritual warfare. And you might say, well, why do I need to know that? I'm trying to find out, from the Lord who I should marry or whatever. First of all, the primary answer to your question is this. If God is who He says He is, And who does God say he is? He says he's God. He says he's God Almighty. He's the supreme being. Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the creator, capital C, of all things. That's who God says he is. He made you. He made planet Earth. That's who God said who he is. And if God, who's the most intelligent being in the universe, in all of creation, if God considers something important enough to have written about it in his word with the anticipation that we would study it and read it in his word and practice what we read in his word, then we would avoid tremendous pain, suffering, and devastation if we obeyed God and read his word and studied it. We would free ourselves, we would free others, we would free our nation in powerful, powerful ways. So God very clearly teaches us that at the root of all the conflict and chaos and problems that are happening in America and across the world right now, even as we speak, with vaccines and the coronavirus, pandemic, economic disruption, wars, rumors of wars, and on and on and on. God teaches us in his word that behind all those physical adversaries, the energy force behind all those physical adversaries is the reality of a supernatural being called Satan or Lucifer, the reality of fallen angels who are under the control of Lucifer, and the reality of very, very powerful men and women, the satanic elite, who essentially control planet Earth from the shadows, and they have sold their souls to the devil. And then all the people that are under these powerful human beings serving Satan. There are vast numbers of more ordinary men and women who have chosen one way or another to serve Satan and the powers of darkness. That is a tough truth to swallow, but it's true truth, and you will never be free until you embrace the truth of God's word, study it, and understand it. Because God didn't put it there for you to freak out and be paranoid and be afraid. Again, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. God put it in his word to set us free from fear, to set us free from slavery. Because Jesus said, once again, you shall know the truth. That's truth. And the truth shall set you free. First and foremost, Jesus Christ was talking about salvation by faith and having your sins forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ was also talking about every area of life that the Word of God deals with. When you know the truth of the Word regarding any area of life, you are set free. So Jesus says to you and me today, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Well, what kind? What truth? Truth in every area, including what's really happening in America right now, what's really happening on planet Earth right now. It's not some psychedelic whirl of unrecognizable shapes and colors and sounds. That's not what's happening right now. God wants his people, especially at this moment and hour. I want to challenge you. If you say that you're born again and that your sins have been forgiven and that you're saved, if you say that, I want to challenge you. I want to exhort you in love. If you say that you're born again, does what you believe and how you act match up with what the Word of God is teaching us. And I want you to think about that. And remember, I didn't say it to condemn you, but to challenge and exhort you. Because if your life in terms of actions and what you think and believe does not match up to what the Word of God is teaching us, then the truth is you're out of alignment, or you're out of synchronization or sync, or you're out of tune with God's Word. And you cannot experience the full release of your God-given destiny. And you cannot experience the victory and the release of your destiny. You can't experience that unless you are willing to bow your heart and mind before the Lord Jesus Christ. And until you're willing to repent and willing to be transformed and changed by God so that you will come back in proper alignment, synchronization, or in tune with the Word of God, which will set you free. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. Make sure you write down and go to and visit and follow and like sign up and join all of our social media sites and platforms and know where they are. Write them down. We're in a war spreading the truth. And you'll find those links, and you can visit all the different platforms we have when you go to paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. And be willing and open before the Lord to send the links of our programs and our media and our Roku channel and our Brighteon channel and our YouTube channel on Facebook and all the other channels, the podcasting channels. Spread the links far and wide, because we're in a war where technology is being used, technology called computer algorithms and bots, where technology programs the computer to visit only politically correct, liberal, radical social media, and deliberately puts up a wall on your searches, puts up an electronic wall to try to block out people who are speaking the truth of God's Word. It's a form of electronic censorship. The only way to beat the enemies of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's what they are. If they're all about using their billions of dollars of technology to censor and block out the gospel of Jesus Christ and block out the Word of God, then they're the enemies of God and the enemies of Jesus Christ. The only way to beat them at that game is for God's people to be obedient and spread the truth to people by sending the links and joining groups and sending our video and our audio programs and our social media and our Roku channel and everything else that we have available for free, to send it, to spread it far and wide.